Yoel Karen is a rabbi, but in addition to that, very knowledgeable of what's happening throughout all of Israel. We could talk about the political aspect, but I want to focus with the rabbi on the Temple Mount, on what is taking place as it relates to preparations for the next temple, etc. Rabbi, great to have you along with us today as one of our broadcast partners as we take a look at 2012's top news stories coming out, in particular with you, for example, what's going on in Jerusalem and the Temple Mount.
As always, I appreciate you having me.
Thank you so much for being available. Let's do focus on the Temple Mount. It's been somewhat of a controversy, both from the Palestinian side, and they continue to deny that there's ever been a Jewish presence on the Temple Mount or even at the Western Wall. But the Israeli government is not helping to give the capability for the people who would really, the religious Jewish people who would like to go up onto the Temple Mount, have some time to just stand there. I remember looking back over Hanukkah, there were many who wanted to go there and to just meditate up there on the Temple Mount, trying to follow the rules that had been laid down. But both the Israeli government and the Palestinians, let's take it from the Israeli government. I mean, they should be the friends of those who want to do something on the Temple Mount. They don't seem to be.
You would think, you know, that they would, even any minimal national pride that these people would have would stop them from the things that they do and that they say. I was so embarrassed last week with Prime Minister Netanyahu getting up and declaring to the world that the Western Wall is not negotiable and it's under full Israeli sovereignty. In effect, he's to mention that the Western Wall is yours without mentioning that the Temple Mount that it's holding up is yours is absolutely ridiculous. He basically denied, without saying it, he publicly denied that the Temple Mount is non-negotiable and is entirely Jewish. So it's really, really sad, really frustrating to hear that those kinds of cowardly statements coming out of the Prime Minister of the Nation of Israel.
Now, does that enhance the Palestinian attack on the reality of truth that there has been a presence on the Temple Mount at least since the times of Abraham when he went there with Isaac to offer him on Mount Moriah, which is the same as the Temple Mount, and that dates back almost 4,000 years ago?
Of course, any sign of weakness emboldens them. And they're not idiots. They're very intelligent, and they can see a weak point, and they know how to exploit it. And they know that Israel's unwillingness to publicly state the truth is a weakness that they can exploit.
Now, talk to me just about that 4,000 year ago event that did take place, and let others know. We've got a litany of things, I would think, and just discuss it with me, if you will. Abraham there, and then King David purchasing the threshing floor from one on the Jebusite, Solomon building the first temple. Just go through those things for us and rehearse them so those eavesdropping on the conversation can realize how important the Temple Mount is to the Jewish people.
Right, right. Even, you know, not only was this the place that Abraham, this is the Mount Moriah mentioned in the Bible, and going back further than that, Jewish tradition holds that the foundation stone where the Holy of Holies was is the very point, the very infinite point from which the entire universe sprang. And so then going forward, you have this as the point where actually the Garden of Eden was, where Abraham prepared to sacrifice Isaac. That's the technical name of the mountain is Har Moriah, Mount Moriah. It's only called the Temple Mount because of the association with the temple after it was built there. Then going forward, you have David purchasing. You have the Jebusite offering him to take it for free, and he refuses, exactly as Abraham refused to take the Cave of Machpelah in Hebron for free. He insisted on buying it, because he could see, our rabbis tell us that the wise man is the one who can see what's coming down. It's in Hebrew, it's Roe et Amolad, sees that which is being born. Abraham knew what would happen in the future. David knew what would happen in the future, and they insisted on buying these places. The rabbis say there's three places that the nations can never say we stole from them, and that is the Cave of Machpelah in Hebron, the kever of the tomb of Joseph in Shechem, and the Temple Mount. All of those were bought and paid for fair and square, and yet all three of those sites are not under Jewish control today.
And very controversial. In fact, the ancient Jewish prophet Zechariah, in his book, chapter 12, I think, is verse 2, where it says, Jerusalem shall be a cup of trembling, basically symbolic, referring to the controversy surrounding the Temple Mount, until the coming of the Messiah. That is a key component in end-time prophecy, but it's evidence that we're quickly, I remember talking with the number two man over at the Temple Institute, Rabbi Chaim Richman. He said, we're living in the days of Zechariah chapter 12. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely we are.
And indeed, it's not going to get any better. It's going to only intensify.
For sure. That's something for every individual who is alive and listening to us right now to consider, the generation that they've been born into, the generation that is seeing these things come to pass. Prophecy has been fulfilled for centuries now, but the birth pangs are beginning to grow closer and closer and more intense all the time. So this is, we're really in a transitional generation right now where we're actually seeing these things. It's incredible to be alive and be part of it.
It certainly is. I would agree with that. 2,500 years ago was when Zechariah wrote that passage of Scripture about the controversy surrounding Jerusalem, and there were no Islamists at that time, according to the record of history. But now it looks to me, and I want to get your opinion, the Islamic element that's in Jerusalem and focused on that Temple Mount, they seem to be that which is the underlying cause for all this controversy.
Yes, actually, history is something that is very, to them, it's not a black and white thing. What happened yesterday, you can interpret as you wish today, and you can change the facts to match whatever is more advantageous to you. That's the way that they look at history, and they don't understand truth and falsehood the way we do, as absolutes. They're all relative, and they can all be changed up to suit your purpose. So according to them, everyone was a Muslim before Islam even existed. Abraham, Adam, everyone, they were all Muslim prophets. The Temple Mount was a mosque before there was a Muhammad, before there was an Islam. To you and I, it sounds ridiculous. To them, it doesn't sound ridiculous because truth is relative.
Yeah.
To them.
Yeah. Totally subjective to what you've heard or studied or lived through in the past. Well, indeed, God's word is absolute. It's objective, and those ancient Jewish prophets talked about it. Let us know beforehand, pre-wrote history, as you might say, to how it would be in the end times. Well, there's going to be a temple that's going to be built as well. Update us. What's the latest on the preparations to build that temple on that very controversial piece of real estate?
Well, I can tell you this, that over the past year, there's been quite a shift. There haven't been a lot of new vessels and things like that being created because, quite frankly, most of it's done. What we're seeing right now is the shift in the consciousness and the way that people, the average Jew on the street and politicians are relating to the Temple Mount. Of course, you know we have Moshe Feiglin, who's declared that the first thing he would do if elected prime minister would be to go up to the Temple Mount and bow down and thank God for him being elected. It just so happens that next week there will be a group of Knesset candidates. We're coming into elections, as you probably know, very soon. And a lot of the people who are running for the Israeli parliament are going to go up to the Temple Mount to give thanks to God and to ask his blessing on their campaigns and to put them into the seats in the Knesset. These are things that are completely, we've had, since the Temple Mount was reopened to Jews, this is the first time anything like this has happened. So that's what's bringing us closer. That's the type of preparations that we can talk about. People are preparing their minds and their bodies now like they never have before. They're preparing for the temple with their feet by walking up to the Temple Mount itself. And that's where the real change has come this year.
Now, let me make sure I understood what you said. All the implements needed to operate the temple, the training of the priest who will be those serving at the temple, every item needed to build that building, it's basically in place, and now you're preparing the hearts and minds of the Jewish people for that temple.
Absolutely. That's exactly what's happening right now. Now, of course, there are a few things that are not ready that we can't just create out of thin air, like the ashes of the red heifer. There are only a few sacrifices, parts of the sacrificial service, that can be done without those ashes. The Passover offering can be brought, certain public sacrifices can be brought, but a great many of offerings and sacrifices cannot be brought until we get those ashes and purify a new generation of Kohanim, of priests. So there are some of the pieces that are still not fit into the puzzle yet, that we still don't have, but we could right now. We have everything we need in place. If we had the political, the physical ability to walk up there and do it, we could reinstitute the divine service today.
Wow. Rabbi Yoel Karen, he updates us on the controversy surrounding the Temple Mount and also preparations to build that next temple on that very sacred piece of real estate, especially sacred to the Jewish people. Rabbi, you've helped us to look back at 2012, and we basically have talked about the prospects for 2013 as well. We appreciate it so much. Next year, we'll continue to have these conversations. Thank you, my good friend.
Thank you.